believe that applies
very, very much so, that we've been given a gift that we didn't deserve. We've been given
a gift and blessings that we don't deserve, and God continues to give those to us. If you'd like to take your Bible out and turn in the Word of God to the book of Romans chapter 4, I want to read a couple of verses here to introduce our thoughts and to think about exactly what we mean by grace. And then throughout our study today, hopefully we'll illustrate how we access God's grace and how we're saved by God's grace. In Romans chapter 4, the Bible begins to talk about Abraham, and it talks a little bit about Abraham's works and Abraham's justification. But I want to call your attention to a couple of verses, beginning in verse 7. The Bible says here, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Now, when we think about the things that are being said here in these two verses, it becomes very clear what grace is. Grace is the blessing of not having our sins counted against us. That's what grace really is. God looks at man in some way, in some instance, because of something, and God makes a decision not to impute or not to count our sins against us. It says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered." And today, what a blessing that is to you and I, that our sins and our iniquities are covered, that they're hidden from God, that when He looks at you and I, He does not count or does not impute to us sin. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You know, as we read this verse, sometimes there's a lot of confusion. Sometimes we ourselves may be confused about what exactly this verse is saying. It's saying we're saved by grace, isn't it? And there's not much argument that can be made. In fact, today I'm not here to argue that we're not saved by grace. Much the contrary, I'm here to argue that we are saved by grace. And that without God's grace, we cannot be saved and are not saved. We have to have God's grace. The verse says that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It goes on in the next verse to say, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, we, as members of the body of Christ, members of the churches of Christ, sometimes are told or statements are made that we don't believe that faith saves, that we believe we have to work our way into heaven, that we believe all about works and not about grace and not about faith. And I don't think that's the case at all, and I hope our study today illustrates that. But anytime you bring this topic up, the topic of grace, you have some questions that arise. Are we saved by grace only? Is grace all we need to be saved? And you know, in some ways, I would argue that's very much the case, that we're saved by God's grace, and that nothing we can do, nothing we can say, nothing we can be could ever change the fact that our best is not good enough to obtain salvation. We have to have something from God, and that gift is God's grace. He looks at us and for whatever reason doesn't count sin, doesn't impute sin to us. And that's why we're saved. Otherwise, we could not be saved. So are we saved by grace only, or is it faith only? Is faith only what saves us? That becomes a question, and we hear that taught in the world. We're saved by faith only. So is that the case? Are we saved by works only? Do you have to work your way into heaven? Do you have to do works to work your way into heaven? What's the case? And hopefully, we'll talk about these things throughout the day today. First thing we need to think about is, what is that grace? What is the reason that when God looks at mankind, in some instances, He does not count sin? He does not impute that sin. He covers that sin, forgives that sin, hides that sin, whatever you want to call it. What is the reason for that? And I think that reason is very clear. Jesus came and died on the cross. And that is grace In its most elementary sense, that is God's grace. That is what God has done for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God sent His Son to die on the cross for you and I. That's grace. We didn't deserve that. Nothing you have ever done merited God sending Jesus to die on the cross. Nothing I have ever done or could do would ever warrant the gift of Jesus coming and dying on the cross, shedding His blood. That's grace. God loved us when we didn't deserve His love. And God sent a gift to us that we did not deserve to receive. And that was the gift of His Son. To go a little bit further than that, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that really is grace as well. That the Lord has given us this promise of eternal life. He's promised us that through His Son we can obtain an eternal inheritance. A life of peace, a life beyond this world, a life where there is no pain, where there is no sorrow. A life where we can live at peace with God forever and ever and ever. God's made us that promise. And not only that, but He is long-suffering. That is an extension of God's grace. That He's long-suffering. You know, as we look around at maybe friends or loved ones that we believe should obey Christ and should be in Christ, and they're not, and sometimes we get impatient, don't we? And we may even fight and argue with them, which is not a good approach. The Bible tells us that the servant of the Lord should not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And yet sometimes we become impatient. That's not the case with God. He's long-suffering, the Bible says. That's an extension of His grace. That He sent Jesus and He is waiting on you to obey. He's waiting. He's patient. He's long-suffering. And that's God's grace. God's given us those gifts. Now, how do we access that? You know, that verse we read early on in Ephesians said, by grace are ye saved through faith. And so there's evidently a relationship that exists between grace and faith. You know, if it was just grace, and I would argue that grace really is on a different plateau. We put that screen up there that said, are you saved by grace only, or faith only, or works only? I would argue that grace is on a different plateau, a different level than faith and works is on. Because it is God's grace that gives us the opportunity. God chose to send His Son. No amount of faith caused God to choose to send His Son. No amount of works caused God to choose to send His Son. God just chose to do that. So we are saved by grace. But the Bible draws the line there and says that we're saved by grace through faith. So there is a relationship between grace and faith. What exactly is that? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so the scriptures in Romans chapter 5 draw us a very clear picture of the relationship between grace and faith. It says there that we have access by faith into grace. And so that grace that God has given, that just isn't out there for all. It is out there for all, I guess I should say. But it isn't just, we don't all immediately have access for no reason. We have to have faith to gain access. The grace is there, the grace has been offered, but we need to tap into that grace somehow. And the scriptures say we tap into that grace through faith. It gives us access to His grace. The best way I know to illustrate that is through the illustration of water, a well, and access of a pipeline to gain access to that water. We all recognize this as an old style water well. It's what what many people used from very early time to access water. They would dig that well. They would have to go to that well. They would have to draw water out of that well. They would lower a bucket down. They would draw the water up. They'd carry the bucket to the house. That's how they got water to their homes. I want you to think of that water as grace. That water was what was sustaining the people. That water was what was giving them life. They had to have that water. That's God's grace. We have to have God's grace. Without God's grace, we're not alive in Christ. Without God's grace, our sins are counted. Without God's grace, He looks at us and He sees a sinner. A filthy, dirty sinner. And so we need that grace in order to cover that sin, in order to hide that sin, in order for that sin to disappear, to wash ourselves from that sin. We need that water. In the house, we need, when we turn the sink on, for water to come out of the sink. And yet, without some way of accessing the water at the well, you can turn the sink on and nothing comes out. If you don't have a mechanism by which to get the water to the house, that sink is not producing water. Just because you have a sink there in the house doesn't mean you have water. You can turn it on, nothing comes out. We've all had that happen probably at some time or another. But in order to do that, you need the pipeline. And that's what faith is. Faith is the pipeline that accesses God's grace and brings it to us. Without faith, we don't have that access. Without faith, that grace that He has offered, that He's given, doesn't help us at all. The fact that Jesus came and died on the cross and shed His blood and suffered doesn't help us at all if we don't have faith in God. You see, we have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to have a faith that accesses the grace of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9, "And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is faith, through the faith of Christ, righteousness, which is of God by faith." You see, when we have faith in God, when we have faith of Christ, we have access to that righteousness. Not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. He was the sacrifice for us. He died for us. And now, when we access God's grace through faith, God doesn't see our sins. God sees the perfection of Christ. And that's what He sees. And that's why He doesn't count sin, because what He sees is the perfection of Christ. So is it grace only or is it faith only? What saves? What level of faith accesses God's grace? I guess that's the next question we need to ask ourselves. Because as we scan through the Scriptures, we see many, many different types of faith discussed. And so what type of faith accesses God's grace? Here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, the Bible says, "And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And so here's a group of people that didn't have any faith whatsoever. I think we all understand, obviously, that no faith would not access God's grace, would it? If you don't have any faith today, you're not going to gain access to God's grace. But there are people that have no faith, absolutely zero. Grace doesn't cover their sins. Grace doesn't cover sin when you don't have faith. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30. "Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Christ speaks to a group of people here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, that He said had a little bit of faith. Just a little bit. So I wonder if just a little bit of faith accesses God's grace. What do you think? How much faith does it take? Does a little faith access God's grace? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10. "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." A lacking faith. So maybe that's a little more than just a little faith. It's definitely more than no faith. But there were still things missing from their faith. They had a lacking faith. Now, it's getting closer to being full, I suppose, but there were things lacking. There were maybe areas of doubt. There were maybe areas of disbelief. Whatever the case may be for the Thessalonians there, Paul said they had a lacking faith. Was that enough to access God's grace? James 2 and 20 speaks of a dead faith. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead. And so this was a faith that maybe had been alive, but now was dead. Does that access God's grace? Luke 17 and verse 5, it says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And so we have the example of an increasing faith, a faith that was getting stronger, a faith that was building, a faith that was increasing. And the apostles recognized their need to increase in faith. And so they asked for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So here's a working faith. Not a lacking faith, but a working faith now. Building and improving and increasing. Matthew 8 and 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. And so now we're talking about something that's stronger, aren't we? We're talking about a faith that Jesus recognized as a great faith. A faith he hasn't seen the likes of in all of Israel, he said. I wonder if that accesses God's grace. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So here's Stephen, a man full of faith. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And so here's an individual that had all faith. A faith so strong that they could remove a mountain. That they could say to that mountain, be gone, and it would be removed. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? That's all faith. So when do we access God's grace? If faith is the pipeline and we've got to have faith to access God's grace, is it at that little amount, or is it at that lacking amount, or is it at that full amount or all amount? When do we access God's grace? We see all these levels. At what degree is grace accessed? In Acts chapter 16 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The Bible begins to talk about being in the faith. And being in the faith is a little bit different than a degree of faith or a level of faith. But the Bible speaks of us being in the faith. And when we're in the faith, that's when we have access to God's grace. Being in the faith. If we're not in the faith, we don't have access to God's grace. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. So we're to look at ourselves, and we should be able to know whether we're in the faith. Examine yourselves, he says. Determine whether or not you're in the faith. And that's what we need to do. We need to examine ourselves. So let's look for just a few moments this morning. Let's examine ourselves, and let's see if we're in the faith, because that's where we've got to be in order to access God's grace, in order to have the blessings of not having our sins counted against us. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, there are a lot of things we look up definitions for. Faith's one of those things. We look up the definition. We try to determine what it means. We look up the definition of grace. We look up all these words. I don't know of another place, really, that the Bible so clearly defines something as it does right here. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? The word substance, another way of putting that might be the foundation of things hoped for. So the foundation of our salvation, the foundation of eternal life, that's what faith is. It's the very substance of that. It's the very fundamental thing that allows us to access God's grace, isn't it? It's the evidence of things not seen. So we don't believe blindly. We don't have blind faith. There's evidence to support our faith. evidence to support the things that we believe, the things that cause us to not have a lacking faith or no faith or dead faith, but evidence that prompts us and encourages us to have a very lively faith, an active faith, to be full of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a very fundamental thing. It's a foundation to our salvation. In the 6th verse of the same chapter, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." It's a very fundamental thing. If you don't have it, you can't please God. And so if you don't have faith, you can't access God's grace, you see. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so He tells us several things about faith here in the 6th verse of Hebrews 11. Number one, we can't please God without it. Number two, that if we're going to come to God, we have to believe that God is the supreme being, that God's the creator, that God's the father, that God has given us all things, that God has blessed us with the grace of His Son. We have to believe all those things, you see. We have to believe that God is, that He exists in order to please Him. We have to believe that He will reward and provide reward to us as Christians, that we're not just going to follow Him blindly and not get anything in the end, but that He's promised us, like the verse we read in 2 Peter earlier, He's not slack concerning that promise. He will fulfill the promises that He's made. He will reward those that seek Him. In John chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." What does it mean to be in the faith? It means that we believe that Jesus is that only begotten Son of God. It means that we believe that He did come in the flesh and suffer and die. That we have that confidence. We have that belief. But is that really all it means to be in the faith? That we believe in God? That we believe in Christ? That we believe that God will reward us? Some would have you to believe or think that that's all faith is. But I want to ask you a question. Let's think about the Apostle Peter. We've talked about all these degrees, all these levels of faith. And I ask you a question this morning. Where was Peter at on that scale of faith? Peter had enough faith to get out of a boat when the sea was raging around him and he sees Jesus over there on the water. And Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat and step out onto that water and walk out towards Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I think about somebody that had a lot of faith. I don't have enough faith to do that. I've never stepped out onto water and walked. I've never defied physics, never defied the laws of nature because of my faith. The Bible talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2. Someone that had so much faith they could say to that mountain, "Be gone," and it be gone. Someone that had all faith. You see, Peter must have had a lot of faith, didn't he? And yet, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" To Jesus, Peter just had a little bit of faith, because Peter looked over at the waves as he got out on the water. He looked over at the storm that was coming, and Peter began to sink. And he reached up, and he had to have Christ to save him, and Christ said, "O ye of little faith." Let me ask you a question. Did Peter believe in God? I have no doubt that Peter believed in God, believed very strongly in God. Otherwise, how could he have stepped out onto that water? Did he believe Jesus was Christ? There's no doubt he believed Jesus was Christ. He had a great confidence in that. He had left everything he had. He had left his livelihood. He had left his job. He had left his family and went to follow Jesus. He believed in Christ. And yet Jesus said to him, "O ye of little faith," because he had those doubts. And so there's much more to the faith that accesses God's grace than just a simple belief in who Jesus is and who God is. And the Bible tells us that in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The Bible begins to talk about a faith that believes in God's plan, a faith that believes in God's operations, a faith that believes and follows the teachings of God and of Christ. And it uses baptism as a reference in this particular example, that we're buried with him in baptism so that we can be resurrected with him again. How? Through faith. We're accessing grace through faith in baptism, in obedience. We're accessing faith, accessing grace through faith. That's God's plan. And so it's not works only, it's not faith only, it's not grace only, it's a combination of those things that we're accessing grace through faith in obedience. That's the illustration that we have in the Scriptures, that all those things must come together, that all those things must play a role, and if we're going to be in the faith, we have to have the kind of faith that believes in the laws, the things that God has set up, the commandments of God, the operations of God, that we obey those things and we obtain that grace. Again, in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says here, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, how? Through faith in His blood. You see, we've got to have faith in His blood, that His blood cleanses us, that His blood redeems us, that we have our sins washed away through baptism, through the washing of regeneration. We have redemption in Christ, and all that is made possible and comes about through grace and by grace. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, for you are all the children of God. How? How are we the children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Now, what is it to be a child of God? That's grace. God's given us the opportunity to be called His children. God's given us the opportunity to call Him our Father. How has He done that? By faith in Christ Jesus. What's the next verse say? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Accessing His grace through faith in obedience. That's the examples that we have set up. Again, Romans 16 and verse 26, but now is made manifest and by the Scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. See, it takes all those things in order for us to attain salvation. It takes all those things. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 17. Here we're given an example of the children of Israel. I wanted to talk about this verse just briefly to illustrate that God is attributing their disobedience directly to unbelief. And so those things can never be separated. When we have a faith that accesses God's grace, when we are in the faith, that faith can't help but be obedient. That faith can't look for other ways. That faith doesn't try to find ways that man's created and not ways that God has set up for us to attain salvation. That's not what that kind of faith does. When we're in the faith accessing God's grace, we are obedient. We can't help be obedient, but be obedient. So Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 17. He says here, speaking of the children of Israel, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now the example he's talking about here is as the children of Israel stood at the brink of entering into the promised land. As they stood seeing Canaan in the distance and being fearful, and being afraid and bringing back an evil report of that land. And saying, we can't take that land. We just can't do it. They're too big. They're giants. We will not be able to go into that land. They disobeyed. God had told them, you can take it. God had told them to go in. to take the land. They disobeyed, and God attributes that disobedience to a lack of faith, to unbelief. You see, they weren't in the faith. They didn't have the level, the degree of faith that it took to trust in God, to obey God. You see, it takes a lot of faith to obey God, doesn't it? It takes a lot of faith to trust in Him that His plan is the best plan and that we can't find any better way and that we must accept that and obey. It takes a lot of faith to do that. And that's what it means to be in the faith. That's what it means to be saved by His grace. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 16 says that unfortunately, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? You see, grace is offered to all. Grace is extended to all. But unfortunately, not all access God's grace. Not all have the kind of faith that it takes to access that pipeline that brings forth that fountain of life freely flowing to us. So what saves us? The Bible tells us that we are saved by grace. God's grace saves us. When you see that image of Christ hanging on the cross, that was the gift of God sent to you specifically for you. Don't think of it in terms of the whole world as we wrap our study up today. Think of it in terms of you and your sin and Jesus hanging on the cross specifically for you. Because He had you in mind as He hung there. God choosing to send Him. He had you in mind, knowing that the sacrifice of His Son could replace you, could replace the punishment due you, could replace Him instead of looking at you and seeing that ugly sin, that He looks at you and sees the perfect Lamb of God. And so we're saved by grace. There's no doubt about that. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith is that pipeline. Faith is the access. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to attain His grace. You must believe. You must not only believe that He's God, you must not only believe that Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you must believe enough to obey. And that's really the last thing, is that we're saved by grace through faith in obedience. By obeying Him in baptism, by obeying Him in the kind of life He's called you to live, and not being swept up in the things, the pleasures, the cares of the world, but choosing to live a life in Christ, choosing to live by His example, choosing to live as a Christian. We're obeying Him, and that takes a lot of faith. And that lot of faith accesses His grace and allows God to look down on you and I today and to see a people that He will not count sin against. And that's a great blessing in life.